It's such a friendly place.
And today's Focus programme is introduced by Jules Alderson.
Hospital Radio Norwich.
Thank you so much for joining me today. I'm really excited to have this conversation about Jewish heritage in Norwich. Can we start by finding out who you are, please?
Yes. Hi, Jules. I'm Oren Margolis. I'm an associate professor of history at the University of East Anglia, and I'm also the leader in the university for Jewish heritage and culture. I'm a trustee of the Jurnitz House charity.
Could we start with a bit of a background to Jewish history in Norwich?
Well, what we have in Norwich is the oldest identifiable place of Jewish residence in this country. And that's this place, Jurnitz House, that we're talking about in King Street. The building was occupied by Isaac Jurnitz, called a Nadiv in Hebrew sources, a benefactor, an identifiable person, a royal financier, but also a patron of Jewish learning, patron of rabbis and Talmudic scholars that inhabited Norwich in that period. Medieval Norwich was one of the leading centers of medieval Anglo-Jewry, a community that came to England shortly after the Norman conquest and lived in this country until it was expelled en masse in 1290 by Edward I, the first expulsion of a Jewish population from any country, anywhere. But in between them is a really rich story of scholars and of poets and of traces that today are hard to find. But we're trying to dig them out. It's also a story with some more somber aspects, because my colleagues and I are trying to promote a new understanding of the richness of medieval Jewish Norwich. What Norwich is most famous for in the Jewish world as being the point of origin for the blood libel. Norwich is the home of the first recorded accusation, the false accusation of Jews ritually killing Christian children. So we have quite a legacy here. We have a monumental moment in the history of anti-Semitism, but we also have a monumental building. And we have a story that is not widely appreciated, a story that can change our view of the place of Britain in Jewish history and of Jewish history in Britain. Because when the Jews of England are expelled in 1290, they don't just go and jump into the sea. They go into France. They go into the Rhineland. It's part of the making of Ashkenazic Jewry, Central and then Eastern European Jewry. England is part of that story. England is a point of departure for a large chapter of Jewish history. And this story is not fully appreciated. It's so common to think of England as a bit of a periphery, of a peripheral place, a point of more recent immigration, which indeed it is. But actually, what we're trying to do by using this building and the restoration of this building as inspiration for rethinking medieval Anglo-Jewish history at this place that has this touchstone to that past, we're putting this country in an entirely different position. And I think the consequences of that locally and internationally will be fantastic.
So how did the idea for a heritage center in Norwich come about?
Well, that's a very interesting question. Actually, we've been looking through some archival documents that show even in the 60s, there were people from the Jewish Historical Society of England who were having conversations with people at Norfolk County Council about trying to do something with Jurnitz House, which was then part of an adult education complex at Winsham Lodge. And nothing ever really came of it. In fact, you know, these are just things that have been found by someone else who was looking in the archives and that I've now seen. So in some ways, more recently, this has been part of, I'd say, the Jewish community's wildest dreams that something like this could happen. And the city resolved to partner with a charity that was established for this purpose to try to transform this building into a center for the promotion of Jewish heritage and culture. And so it's really quite a wonderful story of how we've got to this point. And we're working closely with the city to try to now get the funding to make this building a reality, to make it a reality that can show off the spectacular undercroft, the architecture from the time of Isaac Jurnitz, that can have exhibition spaces promoting Jewish culture and heritage, concert spaces, community spaces, a reading room as well. And we're also inspired by all of this at UEA to create a Center for Jewish History and Heritage that is separate but alongside that restoration project. Hopefully one day that will be our home. But right now already we are developing teaching and research programs in Jewish studies. And so it's a great case of these things all moving forward teaching, research, but on a basis of things that were happening in the community.
Do you imagine the center mostly being for academic purposes, or do you think that members of the wider community would be kind of welcoming and welcome to and using the space?
Absolutely. We see this as an amenity for the city. We're also trying to right now create a Jewish heritage trail that will link the city also with the Sainsbury Center, and to kind of to create a heritage and tourism amenity right below the castle. This Jernitz House is at the heart of what can be a revived King Street heritage district. We see this as something that is absolutely about the wider community, and we'd like it to be a point of interface between academic research, adult learning, and tourism. This is an amenity for the city, and it's also something that can attract people to the city, if we do it right.
How big is the Jewish community itself in Norwich?
That's very hard to say, because Jewish identity is one of those things. It doesn't map well onto the categories of people that wider society likes to look at. Wider society likes to look at race and religion as separate categories, and Jewishness is both and neither. And so it's hard to say. I can say there is one purpose-built synagogue. There's also two Jewish ritual communities, the one in Norwich Synagogue and Norwich Liberal Jewish Community. Norwich Synagogue, we're talking probably around 100 member families. So it's not enormous, but it counts as, in many cases, multiple people. And we have other people that come from the wider region, where the Norwich Synagogue is the only purpose-built synagogue in this part of the country, east of Cambridge. So we see ourselves as having wider remit and a function. In terms of actual numbers of Jews, we're not talking about a huge community. I said it counts as a large, small community, by the way these things are counted. But I'd say that's been an interesting process too, and which I, as part of the university, have been also part of the Jewish community. We've been working together and also trying to become more articulate about how we speak on these issues, and also to think about what our role is. Because the story of Anglo-Jewry, I said when Jews were expelled, well, Oliver Cromwell readmits Jews in 1656, and the story of that begins at places like Bevis Marks Synagogue in London, the arrival of a Sephardic community, the Jews ultimately expelled from Spain and Portugal. The story of Anglo-Jewry, which is the kind of, that's the story then of arrivals from Central and Eastern Europe, that's the story of communities that are here today. The community in Norwich then is a custodian for this other story. And as I said, the story of medieval Anglo-Jewry, to which we have a touchstone in Norwich, is part of the story of world Jewry, you know, because it's not the end point. It's a point, it's a point of departure. So we are custodians. This relatively small but active and articulate community is the custodian for something much bigger. That's why we need partners, and that's why we think we have a great opportunity to attract them through UEA, through developing programs in cultural heritage studies, through trying to create an academic but also community center around this, because we have something wonderful here. But we need hands.
So although the community may be much smaller today, thinking of Jernitz House's heyday, would you be able to give us an idea of where the Jewish community lived within Norwich and the kind of roles and activities they would have had in everyday life?
That's a great question. And in sheer numbers, it may not be that much smaller, but the Jewish community in, let's say, the first half of the 12th century was not an insignificant portion of the community. Now, Jernitz House is in King Street, which is, for those who don't know, it's down towards the river, very close to the train station, which is just across the river. But the main center of the Jewish community, where most Jews lived, it wasn't a ghetto. Ghettos didn't yet exist, strictly speaking, but Jews often lived close together for a variety of purposes. The main center of the Jewish community was in today's Haymarket, between Haymarket and Orford Place. So for those who are less familiar, right beside the market, just below the Church of St. Peter Mankoff, there was a synagogue there. There was a yeshiva. That's been a relatively recent discovery based on a new reading of sources and comparisons with some French examples. A yeshiva is a Talmudic academy, so an academy of scholars. where there was probably a series of commentaries on the Talmud that were also penned there. So that was the real center of Jewish life. And if you think of it, and we have lots of records that come out of that community, we can identify owners of houses. That was the center of Jewish life around the time of the William of Norwich blood libel, which is 1144. So when you're thinking of it being very central in what was the newly developed French borough of the city, so the upper city where the market is versus the lower city where the cathedral is, that was where it was. When I said the Jews of England were expelled in 1290, the last number of decades were not particularly pleasant ones. The family of Isaac Jernet, which owned a number of properties in many different places, you know, that was quite a grand house with river access, stone features, and so on. That house, we know when it was sold, still in the second quarter of the 13th century. By 1286, the synagogue was destroyed and burned in 1286, even 4 years before the expulsion. So the last number of decades were not pleasant. We have, however, a voice from that very period. A man who identifies himself in his own poetry in an acrostic as Meir ben Eliyahu of Norwich. And his poetry is the most eloquent testimony of medieval Anglo-Jewry. It's the finest medieval Anglo-Jewish poet writing around the years of the exile, perhaps on both sides of the exile, and still identifying himself by his hometown. And that his poetry exists in a few limited manuscripts. It has been published, and we're actually republishing it with a new introduction, a new edition right now.
Your work is underway to try and secure Jernet's house and have the center kind of physically located there in the future. But in the meantime, I know that you're very busy with a variety of projects. Could you tell us what you're kind of working on at the moment?
We're not waiting for the building to be restored, because the building is an idea too, right? Jernet's house, which is what we call our charity, is the idea of promoting a study and appreciation of Jewish culture and heritage in Norwich. So we're busy. We've developed a research seminar program. We have an annual public lecture, which we advertise through UEA. We are developing a heritage project, a heritage walk through Norwich right now.
So we're coming to the end of our time together today. I'm quite excited to do the Jewish History Trail. But for other people who are interested in getting involved, how can they support this endeavor?
Jernet's House Charity is a registered charity, so people can support our work at Jernet's House. Likewise, we have a campaign to establish a center for Jewish history and heritage at UEA. These are active campaigns, and people should consider supporting us in those ways, because this is the type of thing that can make a difference, that can really make a difference. People's concern to keep reading and keep asking questions, and then actually the material support is what's going to help us actually make change and bring the next generation of scholars here and put what we're doing on the map.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for your time today. Really appreciated it. Such an interesting conversation.
Thank you.